Good morning. You're talking about miracles this morning and the testimonies given. As you know, Pastor Roger gives me a list on where I'm supposed to speak for the whole quarter. In fact, I had 6 months worth in my book, and it says I'm in Northside this morning. But somehow, somebody got stranded in Arizona, and Lauren felt she could do better staying at Northside. So as I was going out to teach prayer meeting at the village church, Roger called and said, "Can you take a shift?" And so here we are. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord leads in our life? Because I happen to believe in a principle that says every connection and appointment is a divine one. Do you believe that? Otherwise, you're an accident, and I don't think that's true. And so God wants to deal with us in a unique way. We have several young people here this morning, so I wanted to take just a quick moment for them. What were you doing last night at 5:30? She hasn't got a voice?
She does.
5:30, you were doing what?
Working.
She does what?
She works at Better Together.
Better Together.
She's the front office gal.
Good.
Yeah, Christian secondhand store there on Rose.
Yes. Thank you. What were you doing at 5:30? Did you look out your window?
We did.
It cleared up before it said it would for about 20 minutes. And the clouds came in, and I thought, boy, it's good I took an umbrella. And I got up just in front of Gospel Outreach, and it just poured. But the sun was over there in the sky, and so what did I see take place right over me?
Rainbow.
A rainbow. It was gorgeous. It was bold. In fact, it was so bold that on the other side of the cloud, there was a hazy another rainbow. It was a double rainbow. And if you didn't look quick, you missed it, because about 10 minutes later, it was gone. I took a few more steps, and somebody was there with a phone in their hand, and they had just taken a picture. And I said, "Did you get the rainbow?" And she said, "I did. It's gone, isn't it?" The rainbow has great significance, doesn't it? It's a promise of God that He'll never destroy us by what? By water again. And the interesting thing, that promise is so important that when we get to heaven, what will be over His throne? A rainbow. And so there's hope. So young people, God's promised to care for you, and He says you're going to finish the work. That's my challenge for you this morning. Let's seal that challenge with a prayer. Father, we thank You that You've taken our lives and molded them and prepared them to stand for You, not only now, but eternally. And so these precious young people, Lord, You said they would help finish the work. We pray that it's in their heart not only to know You, to love You, to honor You, but Lord, may You be so central in their lives, they demonstrate the principles of Your kingdom. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's see if we can get another amen for the same thing that Keith said this morning. These have been a good set of lessons on the Holy Spirit, and they all said,
amen.
It is as challenging as anything we've done in years. And when this quarter started, I thought he was a little over the top. So I you know, squinted my eyes a couple of times at the boldness. But if in these last 2 weeks you weren't touched in your Sabbath school study time, you are indifferent in what the spirit of prophecy calls a professed Christian. We should be practicing Christians. Amen? And so these things were coming. A week ago Friday night, you know, at the end of the Spirit of Prophecy readings that go along with the lessons, it said read 10 pages. In fact, I think it was almost 11 pages that we were able to read in the background of the attitude of God's people as we grow to the time of the end. It was very descriptive. You may have just remembered it as a story, but it's talking about what will happen as we grow near the time of the end. And so it was the reading on Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. What was significant about Korah? Well, if you want to run a parallel, there was war in heaven and somebody wanted to be equal with God. Isn't that what Korah just demonstrated on a second level down here? The principle is exactly the same. And so we find ourselves looking at a man who thought Moses had gotten there by his own choice and he could be just as good as he was. And he thought Aaron was out of place. And besides, he belonged to the tribe of Levi, and so he should have his job. And he was so successful at it because all the people by now were living their own lifestyles like everybody else. And they'd been in Egypt long enough. They missed what they left behind. And they clung to the things of the present life more than the promised life. They did want the promised land, but on their own terms. Is that happening again today? I guess you didn't hear me. Is that happening again today? We're still clinging to the things of this life. We're looking forward to earning our own income, being in charge of our own life, and dealing with every situation that comes to us. You know, it's pretty soft. They're even looking for a better camp for the homeless right now, aren't they? And so you see, socially, the idea is that we'll take care of it. Now, if you're older and you're paying your taxes and getting your insurance, you know, some people are getting their income and their tents and their medical all cared for socially. And after a while, that could make you cynical. But if we judge any situation, the only person that gets hurt is me. Is that right? I'd like you to communicate just a tiny bit more. At least smile in your eyes. You see, we don't like to admit that the church that killed Jesus Christ was his own chosen people. And we're approaching the same hour again. The biggest surprises will not come from the outside. It'll come from the inside, just like your biggest surprises in your family, it says, will be of your own household. That's biblical, folks. And so that we're on the same page, will you do me a favor? Take your Bibles and let's read some texts that will help us put together what we would like to have straight in our thinking this morning. And so if you'll be so kind as to turn to the Psalms, and I'd like you to turn to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Read it out loud for me. by the word.
Which verse?
33, 6, and 9. I'm sorry. 6 and 9. By the word of the heavens made, and all the host of them by the... For he spake, and it was... He commanded, stood fast. The word of the Lord. The only way we're going to know our way through before we finish is if we abide in the word. We say we know the truth. Do you know the original word for truth stands for? True one. There's only one true one, isn't there? You can depend on what he has in mind for us for the finishing of his work, both young and old. It's so clearly outlined that we can't miss. It's so designed and written that if you turn to it and ask two simple things, you won't need a PhD after your name to decipher it. For the exact thing you need in your life, he said, he will show you out of his word. So he said to Charles and Gladys Richardson, I want a Gwen. You say, that doesn't happen that simple. It must. Because when the sperm came along, there were millions of them. Only one gets to win. We are not an accident. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast, permanent. How much does he care for you? Would you turn to another one? I'd like you to turn to Jeremiah this time, 29. Jeremiah 29. And I'll begin reading in verse 11. 29, verse 11. God's thinking about you, notice. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call on me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with what? Yeah. We don't like anything done half-hearted, do we? So when you search for me with all your heart, I want to come along and hold up your hands. Then if you'll look at the last one with me, Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Very well known two verses. Verses 33 and 34. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You can't turn on the news and not come away opinionated for it, believe it. You think it's so crazy, it can't possibly be. And it may just leave you confused trying to put which one is which. And so God tells us as we get near the end of time, there's only one concern we really need, is that his will be done. And they all said, that's it. Not my will, but thy will be done. How do you do that? I have a little expression that you've heard just the latter part of, but I'd like to put it in prospect for you that it'll be something you'll keep mining for days. You see, when we get down to the end of time, we're not going to tell somebody your church is wrong because of the following. They won't listen to you. We're going to convince them because we have a life so lived in Christ that we're contagious in His love. And they all said again, that's it. Amen. He wants us all in His kingdom. His Son died that we might all have eternal life. That's from Adam to whoever the last one is. And He's going to restore all that. And we read that and we think it's marvelous. I want to be there. You know, when He stands up, Adam, and says, there's Eden again. Go take possession. But to get there, there's some things along the way that we need to know that sometimes we think because we're sitting in these pews or going to this church or have this message that we're automatically prepared. And so here's some interesting things. This is found in Desire of Ages. In our association with one another, we should take heed lest we forget Jesus and pass along unmindful that He is not with us. When we become absorbed in worldly things so that we have no thought of Him of whom our hope of eternal life is centered, we separate ourselves from Jesus and from heavenly angels. These holy beings cannot remain where the Savior's presence is not desired, and His absence is not marked. This is why discouragement so often exists among the professed followers of Christ. Many attend religious services and are refreshed and comforted by the Word of God, but through neglect of meditation and watchfulness and prayer, they lose the blessing and find themselves more destitute than before they received that blessing. Often, they feel that God has dealt hardly with them. They do not see that the fault is their own. By separating themselves from Jesus, they have shut away the light of His presence. And then the well-known one-liner and the paragraph with it. It would be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour each day in contemplation of the life of Christ. We should take it point by point, contemplating the life of Christ. We should take it point by point and let the imagination grasp each scene, especially the closing ones. We're in the midst of them. As we thus dwell upon His great sacrifice for us, our confidence in Him will be more constant, our love will be quickened, and we shall be more deeply imbued with His Spirit. If we would be saved at last, we must learn the lesson of penitence and humiliation at the foot of the cross. We live in an age where my grandson can scare me to death. I ask him a question, and 3 seconds later, he can give me the answer. You have children like that, or are you that quick? I can quote a text and they can tell me in all the translations they want or appreciate what it says to them today. As we associate together, we may be a blessing to one another. If we are Christ, our sweetest thoughts will be of Him. We shall love to talk of Him, and we shall speak to one another of His love, and our hearts will be softened by divine influences. Beholding the beauty of His character, we shall be changed into the same image from glory to glory. Before we're through, we'll walk so intimately with Christ, know His word so well, that we will no longer just talk about Him, we will demonstrate Him. Do you believe that? That's a must. As automatically as the flower turns to the sun, we turn to the Son of Righteousness, who hath healing in His wings. When I hit college, And that was a few decades back. We came to the week of prayer, and somehow my roommate was the spiritual leader of Pacific Union College. And as a roommate, I was much involved with him. And it came to that time, what will we do this year for the student week of prayer? And we agreed which days, certain ones we knew could handle subjects, and we decided that the subject material would be centered on the book Steps to Christ. And so we thought, what a neat idea. Maybe we could put one in each person's hand. Well, it happened to be the back hallway was filled with the book center selling books. So we went to Mr. Cook and we said, Mr. Cook, please, what could you give us if we ordered, and I think we had over 1,200 students that year. And what could you give us a price on this? And he gave us a price that we know that the student association didn't have. And so that's the best. And he said, yes. And basically walked off from us. So we felt we were through. Sitting in our room and talking about it, my roommate, very unhappy, he said, What did we do wrong? What could we do next? It seems like getting this book in the hands of the youth at this time would be the proper move. And so I said, let's go talk to the conference president. He said, what? You're out of your mind. I said, no. Now, the conference president at that time had a very straight mind. He had come from the Lodi area, and over there they grow grapes and they sell them to an organization that does something to them that it ends up calling it wine. And so we knew that when Lawrence Maxwell, Uncle Arthur's son, went there to preach, he only preached one sermon because he preached against selling grapes to wineries. And that was his first and last sermon in Lodi. So when we walked into his office, we didn't know what to expect. He said, what are you boys taking? What it brings you here? And so we told him we were theology majors, and it was the desire at the week of prayer that every student would have steps to Christ in their own hands, could follow along where the students were teaching on this particular subject. And he said, oh, did you need to talk to Mr. Cook? And we said, no, we tried talking to him in the halls of PUC, and he didn't have the time of day. What are you suggesting? We're just wondering if the conference could help us. And we told him our reason. And he said, well, let me think about it. Well, he said, just a minute. And he picked up the phone and he dialed two or three numbers. And he said, Brother Oaks, we have a couple young men that want to talk to you in here, and you better bring a sharp pencil. And Brother Oaks came walking into the room, and we told him our need. And then he got down to the point and he said, and so you're asking us to pay for it. How come treasurers always ask that question? I don't know. And so we said, okay, here's what we'd like to do. Well, the two men looked at each other for a second, and Brother Oak said, Brother Becker, he said, didn't we, the other day when we did the budget for this coming year, in case there was a special project, we put 1% aside? And he said, yeah, I think we did. And he said, what are you asking? And he got out his calculator and did a little work. And he said, oh, yeah, that'd fit in the 1% and so on. So they dropped, shipped them to us for free. We liked it so well, my college roommate happened to work in the bindery. So with that gift, we felt we could afford to put the year. That was our week of prayer, 1953. Many a student I've met since knows what that's like. I do. And so when I walk, I read. I ought to put a mark in the back for the many times we've read. My chapter was growing up into Christ. And it stopped me cold when it came to this paragraph. Consecrate yourself to God in the morning. Make this your very first work. Let your prayer be, take me, O Lord, as wholly thine. I lay all my plans at thy feet. Use me today in thy service. Abide in me, and let all my work be wrought in thee. This is a daily matter. Each morning, consecrate yourself for God for that day. Surrender all your plans to him, to be carried out or given up as his providence shall indicate. Thus, day by day, you'll be placing your life in the hands of God, and thus your life will be molded more and more after the life of Christ. The next line said, is a life in Christ is a life of restfulness. Is your pace getting pretty hectic? Yeah. And so I did grow up in Christ through that particular touch. And that's what God wants to do in each of our lives. He didn't say that somebody can explain it all and read it in any language is going to finish the work. He said it's the common people who will submit their lives to him to be guided by his Holy Spirit, that the knowledge they will need in their life and the lives of all those he puts them in touch with will be carried out and the work will be finished. And it won't be because you're a theological whiz or know every book of the Bible by heart. There's only a few men that have tried that, and they got to be high priest, and one of them was named Caiaphas. And he led them in the chant of crucify. You think you couldn't think like that? It doesn't go your way. The potential is there. By nature, it's the righteousness of Christ alone in your life that will make you a candidate for eternity. Do you believe that? It's his righteousness alone. It's the faith of Jesus, not my faith in him. It's his faith in me that gives me an opportunity to look eternally and to have hope now. And when we get around to that type of thinking, then you can look at anybody, whether they are your friend or a foe, and still love them. Because you're lifting up his love, and he died for me and my sins. And then so I owe him everything, all of me. You'll say, well, how do we pick that thought off in terms of practicalness today? I'll give you an illustration. I maybe even get some comments from you for this one. But I think the election delayed time a little longer for us to get ready. Hello? Yeah. Because the goal of the world is to shut down Christianity. The groups that are fighting are the ones that want you to pay for their abortions and their medical recovery if they take drugs and so on. If the government runs it, we know where it's going. The delay in time, if you want to play politics, you can shut down Christian growth. If you think time's been extended so you can spend more time with Jesus and get ready for his return, you'll become so loving in the midst of distrust for everybody that you'll not only talk about him, you'll demonstrate him. Amen? That's it. He wants it to come to the place so that you read a passage. And my prayer, and I know it must be yours too. We can all read words. You can't get along in life if you can't read words. So you can read your Bible and say, no, that story backwards and forward. That's why it was so interesting reading Cora Dathan and Abiram last week, because I thought, man, those guys were off the wall, and I found the picture was kind of like a mirror as I read it. What does God want to do? Any of you reading this devotional book this year? I imagine it's a reprint from back in 9 or somewhere like that. But they organized it along a certain pattern. And the first pattern they looked at for us this year reads several expressions that I'd like to share with you. He, Christ, pointed to the scriptures as the unquestionable authority. And we should do the same. What a lead line. The Word of God is the only steadfast thing our world knows. This is a short sentence. It's powerful, wasn't it? It is the sure foundation. Heaven and earth will pass away, said Jesus. But my words shall not pass away. Jesus called the Word of God, and by the way, the word's always capitalized, because as John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word, you know that too. But notice what God wants us. If we're too busy to have time for God, what we're going to find out today is we're too busy. We need time. The quote I gave you out of Steps to Christ said, do it every morning. And that Desire of Ages said we should spend how much time each day? A thoughtful hour if we're to know Him. That's funny, when you fell in love, we couldn't keep you away. You had time. Because you wanted to grow a relationship. The principle's the same. God is love. Jesus is called the Word of God. He accepted His Father's law, wrought out its principles in His life, manifested its spirit, and showed its beneficent power in the heart. Says John, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All that man needs to know or can know of God has been revealed in the life and character of His Son. And He said, unless we imbibe Him, unless we digest in His Word, we don't know Him. The last great thing isn't going to be whether you condemn the papacy. The last great thing that they can't get over while the world's destroying one another is my how they love one another. Amen? That's your last great testimony. We won't be fighting over who gets ordained or not. That's a ruse to get us off the subject. And so notice where we go in one or two more expressions here. It's one thing to treat the Bible as a book of good moral instruction to be heeded so far as consistent with the spirit of the times and our position in the world. It's another thing to regard it as it really is, the Word of the living God. The Word that is our life, the Word that is to mold our actions and our words and our thoughts. To hold God's word as anything less than this is to reject it. And then we move on to another thought here. Notice, the only safety for the youth in this age of pollution is to make God their trust. The key word in that line was the only safety. It's not easy to tell your young people that, is it? It's hard to run a Christian school today, isn't it? There's a lot of competition out there. We're praying for you, Jeannie. Appreciate your school. Enjoyed visiting it here a while back. But the textbook that they need to have down pat when they get their final degree is their relationship with Jesus Christ. And they all said, amen. That's it. If they leave not knowing Him, you paid a second tax and don't have anything to show for it. Hello? One more thought here in this book and one closing one. As our physical life is sustained by food, so our spiritual life is sustained by the Word of God. And every soul is to receive life from God's Word for himself, as we must eat for ourselves in order to receive nourishment. So we must receive the Word of God for ourselves. The Bible, you do not know its worth. It's a book for the mind, for the heart, the conscience, the will, and the life. He who by faith receives the Word is receiving the very life and character of Jesus Christ. That's what you're receiving when you take time with him. The last one was one of the first ones, and I'd like to read that to you. The illuminated soul sees a spiritual unity, one grand golden thread running through the whole. But it requires patience, thought, and prayer to trace out the precious golden thread. Father, thank you for the quietude we had these few moments to just be reminded that we don't have to be drawn together and think alike, but we do have to be drawn in your word so that we love one another. Whether we're good, bad, or indifferent, they'll know we're genuine by how we respond to them. Lord, thank you that in your perfection you wish to reproduce it in Gwen. And I hope each one of you here this morning are putting your name on that line. Because, Lord, you're soon to return. This world, in the way it's going, is on a self-destruct course, and it has nothing to do with atomic energy. It has to do with selfish, sinful lives. Create in us, Lord, a renewed dedication to putting you first and last and best in everything. In Jesus' name, amen.